Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. Happy New Year, everybody! We're back with our first episode of 2026. We've lots of wonderful things planned for the new year. So many cool stories coming your way. And we're going to kick off 2026 celebrating our fabulous listeners and their January birthdays. We'll also have some shout-outs to some new patrons. They'll be coming up after today's story, so make sure you stick around. But right now, it's January birthday time. It was Leo's birthday on Thursday. He's 15 now. Can you imagine? And he's having a party right now with all his friends. Hooray! So who else is celebrating a birthday? Firstly, here is a birthday shout-out to Vivian in Minneapolis. She loves witchy stories like The Two Silly Witches. She turned 6 in December and we missed it because Leo broke his ankle. So we're wishing you happy birthday now, Vivian! Next, here's a shout out to another Leo in Battersea. He is 7. He likes Greek myths and adventure stories. Happy birthday, Leo! Here's a shout out to Hugh from Baltimore in Maryland, and he is 6. His birthday is January 15th. Wait a minute, that's Leo's birthday too, Hugh! He loves Ragnarok, The Giant's Causeway, and The Monster of Loch Mask. Happy birthday, Hugh! Now a birthday shout-out to Jack from Dundee in Scotland, and he is 8. Jack and his sister Evelyn, who's 10, especially love Greek and Norse mythology. Happy birthday, Jack! Here's a birthday shout-out to superfans and power pixies, Theo and Trevor from Minneapolis. Theo is 8 and Trevor is 6. We love Theo's amazing drawings. You may have seen them in the Facebook group. And Trevor and Theo always tell us how much they love each story and give us lots of feedback. Happy birthday, Theo and Trevor! And finally, here's a birthday shout out to Zane, who is 8 from Davenport, California. Zane loves listening to our podcast with his pussycat Zeke, and he's really good at doing all the voices. Happy birthday, Zane! Oh, that was brilliant. And remember, if you would like a birthday shout-out, come and join us over on Patreon. You can be a little sprite or a power pixie. More shout-outs to new patrons coming after the story. Now, listeners, I want to talk about superheroes. What makes a superhero? Is it a cape? Or a cool costume, like Spider-Man? A secret identity, like Superman? Maybe it's an amazing superpower. What would your superpower be? Mine would definitely be to swim underwater, and I'd need a cool superhero name too. Now, some people think the idea of a superhero is quite modern. The Avengers, Batman, Wonder Woman. And Leo did a top five way, way back of his favourite superheroes. But actually, they are older than we think. And this story today comes from Wales, from the travelling community of the Romani. So I think we should start one fine morning in the Welsh valleys. One fine morning in the Welsh valleys, there was a young man strolling along the road, whistling a merry tune. His name was Frosty. Now that's a funny name for a person, isn't it? But as eggs is eggs, that was his name. I wonder why. Perhaps we'll find out. Frosty wore a bright blue hat on his head, slightly tipped to one side. He whistled and he walked and he whistled. He was just walking around a bend in the road when he stopped whistling. And he stopped walking. There, in the middle of the road, lying down with his ear to the ground, was an old man. He looked very strange indeed. "What are you doing down there, old fella?" asked Frosty. The old man raised his head and glared at him. "Who are you calling an old fella, you young rascal in your jaunty hat? I'm listening." And he put his ear back down to the ground. "You what?" said Frosty. "What are you listening to?" The old man raised his head and then his body and then stood up face to face with Frosty. "I'm listening to the Prime Minister making a speech in London." Frosty laughed. "The old fella's mad," he thought. "No, I ain't mad, young fella. I have amazing hearing and I can even hear a person's thoughts if they're up close to me." So Frosty had to test this. He ran and he ran and he ran up the road from the old man until he was about half a mile away. And then Frosty whispered something into the wind. 16 sausages sizzling in a saucepan. The old man waved and started trotting up the road toward him.
Right, you said 16 sausages sizzling in a saucepan.
Well, whisper me silly, thought Frosty. This chap is the best hearing in the world.
Say there, what's your name?
Well, said the old man, they call me Radar, 'cause of me keen ears.
Well, Radar, fancy coming along with me? A fellow with hearing as excellent as yours could be of good use, and we might find adventure.
So Frosty and Radar walked on down the road, whistling as they walked and walking as they whistled. They were just walking around a bend in the road when they stopped whistling and stopped walking.
there, sitting on a gate, her cheeks puffed up, taking big, deep breaths, was a young woman. She was huffing and puffing, huffing and puffing. "Hello, miss. What are you doing there?" said Frosty. "Shh! There's no wind today, so I'm going to blow the sails of that windmill yonder." Frosty laughed. "This lass is mad. That windmill must be 100 miles away." So Frosty had to test this. "I'd like to see that lass. Off you go." So the lass huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed and blew with all her might as Frosty and Radar watched the windmill way off in the distance. And sure enough, the bright sails began to move and started spinning and spinning around and around. And when she stopped blowing, the sails stopped spinning. "Well, blow me down," thought Frosty. "This lass has the strongest breath in the world. Say there, what's your name, miss?"
"They call me Whirlwind Girl."
"Well, do you fancy coming along with us? A lass who can blow the wind as well as you could be a good use. And we might find adventure." So Frosty and Radar and Whirlwind Girl walked on down the road, whistling as they walked and walking as they whistled. They were just walking around a bend in the road when they stopped whistling and stopped walking. For coming toward them was a strange sight indeed. A young man was hopping, yes, hopping along the road on one leg. But he was carrying his other leg tucked under his arm, like a parcel. Hop, 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 he went on one leg, carrying his other. Frosty called out, "Hello there, sir. Is that your leg you're carrying?" The young man stopped hopping. "It is indeed. I have to take me leg off, you see, or I move too fast." Well, Frosty had to see this. "Good sir, would you be up for showing us how fast you run?" The young man put his other leg back on with a clunk. And no sooner did his other foot touch the ground when he shot off down the road in a cloud of dust faster than a speeding train. He disappeared over a hill. And then he came back like lightning, coming to a stop in front of Frosty by taking off his leg. "Ha-ha! You see, I have to take me leg off to stop." "Well, chase me round the town," thought Frosty. "This is the fastest man in the world on two legs. Say there, what's your name, my lad?"
"They call me the Rocket."
"Well, fancy coming along with us? A man who can run as fast as you could be of good use, and we might find adventure." So Frosty and Radar and Whirlwind Girl and the Rocket walked on down the road, whistling as they walked and walking as they whistled. They were just walking around a bend in the road when they stopped whistling and stopped walking. Coming toward them was a giant of a man carrying a huge tree trunk on his shoulder as easily as you or I would carry an umbrella. Frosty called out, "You there, Man Mountain, what's your name?"
"My name is Tank."
"Well, fancy coming along with us? A giant of immense strength as yourself could be a good use, and we might find adventure." And so the gang were assembled. Frosty, Radar, Whirlwind Girl, the Rocket and Tank all set off to find adventure together. At last they all came to a market town. A huge crowd had gathered
around a town crier who was issuing some sort of royal proclamation.
Hear ye, hear ye! His Majesty the King will hold a great contest at the palace. Whomsoever can challenge the king's fastest runner and win shall receive a great reward. That is all.
A great reward, thought Frosty. I reckon I've just the man for the job. My fellows, let's go up to the palace. So up to the palace they went to meet the king. Now, the king was a show-off who liked to win. And when he saw Frosty and his strange companions, he thought they looked like a ridiculous band of idiots.
You say you have someone who can beat my runner?
Why, yes, sire, said Frosty. May I introduce the fastest man on two legs, the Rocket?
The Rocket hopped forward and the king laughed cruelly.
The Rocket, eh? Very well. Challenge accepted. You will race my champion in the morning. Please accept my hospitality this evening and make yourself comfortable in the royal stables.
Stables? Tank is not a horse.
Calm down, mate, said Frosty. It's just for one night. Think of the reward.
All right.
So the friends slept the night in the king's stables, and the next morning they were awoken by the sound of trumpets and crowds. Out in the palace gardens, the whole town had gathered to watch the race. The king's champion, a skinny chap in a bright gold leotard, was at the starting line of a racetrack, doing ridiculous stretches and lunges and jogging on the spot. The king sat on a throne on a raised platform to get the best view of the race. The group of friends gathered at the start line and the Rocket hopped over, his leg tucked under his arm as usual. And he tried to shake hands with the king's champion.
Good luck, mate, he said.
The champion sneered.
I don't need luck, but I think you might.
A referee called.
Contestants, ready!
All went quiet. The champion put his toe to the start line, focused and ready. The Rocket hopped next to him and held his leg in his hands, waiting.
On your marks!
The king smiled and stroked his beard.
Get set!
The Rocket was ready to put on his leg. The champion shot away. He was very fast, Frosty thought, but the Rocket still hadn't put his leg on.
Come on, Rocket, said Frosty. Get your leg on! Catch him!
The crowd cheered as the champion sped towards the finish line and the king clapped his hands together.
Victory is mine.
And then the Rocket put his leg on. And a second later he crossed the finish line first. The crowd fell silent, their mouths hanging open. And then they began to cheer.
Rocket! 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 Rocket!
Rocket!
The king was furious at this.
Who do this band of weirdos think they are to come here and embarrass me like this? I must get rid of them.
And how do wicked kings try to get rid of heroes? Come on, you should know by now. An impossible task. The king called his advisers for a meeting while the five friends were taken back to the stables by the guards and told that their reward would come in the morning.
Oh, this is not good, said Whirlwind Girl. I don't trust the king.
I ran my fastest out there. I mean, where's my reward? Said Rocket. tank is not a horse. I don't want to sleep in the stables again.
Will you all be quiet? Said Frosty. Radar is trying to listen.
Radar was listening. He was listening to the meeting happening way up in the palace.
Right, so the king is speaking now. Wait. He's saying tomorrow he shall proclaim that he desires the lake in front of the palace to be drained dry. When we can't do it, he shall...
Oh, dear.
What? What's he going to do? Said Whirlwind Girl.
He said, when we can't do it, he'll have us executed.
They all shuddered, except Frosty. Frosty smiled, for he had a plan. The next morning, the five friends stood before the king as he proclaimed his impossible task, to drain the palace lake dry.
If you fail, you shall be executed, all of you.
So out they went, every one of them, and stood before the huge lake that stretched across the land towards the mountains.
Oh, this is a tough one, said Radar.
I have no clue, said Rocket. I can't lift all that water with my hands, said Tank.
Frosty looked at Whirlwind Girl and smiled. What do you reckon, my lady?
Piece of cake, she said.
And that lass huffed and puffed and blew with all her might. The water began to move away in great big tidal waves. She blew and blew the water right out of the lake and up to the mountains where it turned into snow. All that was left was a massive hole full of mud and rocks. And when Whirlwind Girl stopped blowing, her friends all cheered. The king did not. They'd beaten him again. It was time to get rid of this dangerous crew, but he didn't tell Frosty that.
Bravo indeed. You have most certainly earned your great reward. I shall present you with your prize in the morning. I am not sleeping in the stable. Tank is not a horse.
The king raised an eyebrow.
No, of course not. You shall stay in the palace tonight. And I have just the room for you all.
The friends were escorted back to the palace and shown into the king's special chamber. When the door clanged shut, Frosty knew something was wrong. The walls, the ceiling, and the floor of the room were all made of iron.
So it's a prison cell, said Radar.
I fear it may be worse than that, said Frosty gravely. They all settled down on the floor to try and sleep. Now underneath the king's iron chamber was a fiery furnace. The king's plan was to light a great fire in the fiery furnace that would grow so hot the iron chamber would heat up and become an oven. And burn the five friends inside to death. They were fast asleep on the floor when the room started getting hotter and hotter. They woke up sweating, and soon the floor was almost too hot to stand on.
I can't blow through iron, said Whirlwind Girl. We'll be roasted alive. What do we do, Frosty?
Calm yourselves. Did I never tell you why they call me Frosty.
Frosty cocked his blue hat onto the other side of his head, and all of a sudden, the air in the room started to chill. The friends started to shiver as a thin layer of frost covered the ceiling, the walls, and the floor. The air grew colder and colder. They could see their breath. An icicle started to form on their eyebrows. The room was a freezer now.
Enough, Frosty,
said Tank. So Frosty tipped his hat back just a little, and the room began to warm until it was just the right temperature. The fiery furnace was out, and the friends settled down back to sleep. The next morning, the king was so astonished to find the five friends alive, he became very scared and just wanted them to go away. The king asked Frosty,
How much money do you want to go away from my kingdom and never come back?
Well, said Frosty, I'm a fair man, so we want as much money as a man can carry.
The king thought this was very reasonable. After all, a man couldn't carry that much gold, and the king had lots.
You shall have it, I swear, said the king,
and took the friends to his treasure room. It was filled with mountains of gold coins.
You can take as much as one man can carry, and then be on your way forever.
Frosty smiled. As much as one man can carry, and I know exactly the man for the job. Oh, Tank!
When the king saw huge Tank approaching, his face grew pale. Tank filled one sack full of gold.
There you are, all you can carry.
This is nothing for me,
said Tank, and filled two sacks, then three sacks, five sacks, 10 sacks of gold as the king watched his treasure pile getting smaller and smaller until there was only a little pile of gold left in the treasure room. Tank picked up the 10 sacks of gold and put them on his huge shoulders.
As much as one man can carry.
And the five friends left the palace as quickly as they could. The old king was beside himself with grief at the loss of all his treasure. He couldn't let it go, and so he sent his soldiers after them. But Radar heard them coming.
Wait a minute. No. I hear an army approaching.
They halted and looked behind them.
Never fear, said Frosty as the soldiers drew near.
Frosty cocked his hat on one side and the ground below the soldiers froze in an instant, rooting them to the spot. And when the friends were safely away over five hills, Whirlwind Girl turned around and blew. And blew, and blew all the soldiers back to the king's palace, where they landed in a big heap. Then the friends split all the treasure equally between them and lived very fine lives indeed. They went on to have many other adventures and used their amazing powers to help people in need, becoming real superheroes. But those are stories for another time. For now, it's the end. So, listeners, did you like that story? What was your favourite bit?
I've got two favourite bits. I really like Tank in this story.
I am not a horse. Don't sleep in a stable. I thought that's really funny.
And I also like the fact that we don't find out Frosty's superpower until much later on. So now we have some shout-outs to brand new Little Sprites and Power Pixies. Thank you for joining our club, folks. Here we go. Firstly, here's a shout-out to Talia, and she's age 5 from Lenape Hoking, Turtle Island, Pennsylvania. Her favourite stories are The Magic Ear and The Demon Riddle. Hi, Talia. Thanks for listening. Next, here's a shout-out to Sabella. She is 5 and she lives in North London. Her birthday is November and her favourite episode is The Freedom Bird. She likes listening to the podcast with her dog, Chia. Hi, Sabella. Hi, Chia. Thanks for listening. Next, we have a shout-out to Atticus Wolf. That is an amazing name. And he is 5. He is in Ticino, Switzerland. His birthday is in May and his favourite episode is Ragnarok. Hi, Atticus Wolf. Thanks for listening. Here's a shout out to Leo, who is 8 years old, and older brother Aloran, and they live in Haydenville, Massachusetts. Leo's birthday is February and Aloran's is December. Favourite episode?
Smelly Bottom, of course.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Aloran. Thanks for listening. And finally, here's a shout-out to Zia, who is 8, and Raimi, who is 6, and they live in Silver Spring, Maryland. Zia's favourite story is Little Ducky and the Turkish Sultan, and Raimi's is The Monkeys and the Bell, but they also love the Greek myths. Hi, Zia. Hi, Raimi. Thanks for listening. Oh, that was brilliant. And you are all so, so welcome in our club. Remember, if you'd like to join the club, listeners, ask a grown-up to pop over to Patreon and become a Little Sprite or a Power Pixie. You get extra stories, shout-outs and ad-free episodes. And next month, we'll be celebrating all our Power Pixies with some special featured shout-outs. So that's it for this episode. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and I'll have another story coming soon. But until then, you don't have to bend steel or fly up above. The best superpowers are kindness and love. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Andy and Leo at Dragonfly Tales UK. Come and join our Patreon club for shoutouts, extra stories and ad-free content. Search Dragonfly Tales to follow us on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
Tank is not a horse.